Okay, word for word. Atta, thus, ha, indeed, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Adideva, the first demigod, etasya, of this universe, guna, visargasya, the creation of the three modes of material nature, paribrimhana, the welfare, anudhyana, always thinking of, vyavashita, known, shakala, whole, jagat, of the universe, abhiprayaha, by whom the ultimate purpose, atma, the supreme self, jani, whose source of birth, Akila, all, Nigama, by the Vedas, Nijagana, by personal associates, Pariveshtita, being surrounded, Swabhavanat, from his own abode, Avatara, descended, translation of the purport by His Divine Grace of Vaicharanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, the first created being and most powerful demigod in the universe is Lord Brahma, who is always responsible for developing universal affairs. Born directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He dedicates His activities to the welfare of the entire universe, for He knows the purpose of the universal creation. This supremely powerful Lord, Brahma, accompanied by His associates and the personified Vedas, left His own abode in the highest planetary system and descended to the place of Prince Priyavrata's meditation. Please repeat. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, the first created being and most powerful demigod in this universe is Lord Brahma, who is always responsible for developing universal affairs. Born directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He dedicates His activities to the welfare of the entire universe, for He knows the purpose of the universal creation. This supremely powerful Lord Brahma, accompanied by His associates and the personified Vedas, left His own abode in the higher planetary system and descended to the place of Prince Priyavrata's meditation. So here we're reading about the beginning of creation, about the topmost people in the universe who actually taking care of the universe, that we're thinking on a little scale, we have a little world around us, but here these personalities, they're thinking universally, they're on that level, they're the head of the universe is Brahma, the personified Vedas are with him, and they're kindly coming down from the Satyaloka down to the earth planet to see Maharaj Priyavrata. It's a big thing. The king comes to the place, it's a big thing, so what to speak of the universal king, Lord Brahma, coming down with all these great sages and the Vedas personified. to give instructions to Maharaj Priyavrata to take care of the universe as a king, so that for the best welfare of the living entities. The first duty of a king is to make sure that citizens are satisfied. That's his main business as a king. So here, this Maharaj Priyavrata, he was the son of King Uttanapada. But, his brother was Uttanapada. Who was the father? Swayambhuva Manu, okay. Swayambhuva Manu, he was the father. So the two brothers, Uttanapada and Maharaj Priyavrata. So Maharaj Priyavrata was very renounced. Although he was the oldest, he was very renounced from birth. So Swayambhuva Manu said, better he goes and renounces. He's going to go off anyway, it's his nature. So he let him go off and renounce, and he performed austerities in the Gandamandana hills. And his younger brother actually took the throne. Uttamapada, he became the king. But now that he wants a new king, there's no king he wants, so Priyavrata is the only one qualified to do that position now. So they're coming down to tell him to not stop his austerities and come and maintain the universe, which he's not very interested in. But anyway, this is what we're dealing with, is universal movers here, the big movers. They're purple. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Self, Atma, is the source of everything, as explained in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadi Asya Jatha. Because Brahma was born directly from Lord Vishnu, he is called Atma Yoni. He is also called Bhagavan. Although generally Bhagavan refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Lord Krishna, sometimes great personalities such as demigods like Lord Brahma, Narad and Lord Shiva are also addressed as Bhagavan because they carry out the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma is called Bhagavan because he is the secondary creator of this universe. He is always thinking of how to improve the situation of the conditioned souls who have come into this material world to enjoy material activities. For this reason, he disseminates the Vedic knowledge throughout the universe for everyone's guidance. So here, Prabhupada is pointing out, even great personalities are sometimes called Bhagavan because they have the same purpose of the Lord and they're empowered to act on behalf of the Lord. Prabhupada gives the example of the viceroy. In India you had the viceroy, he represented king. So King Pancham George or Queen Victoria, or that during the time of the British Raj, they would have a viceroy in India. And whatever he said and did, it was exactly accepted as the king. He would accept gifts on behalf of the king. So he was exactly like a king, but he wasn't, he was a viceroy. But he was acting as a king. So similarly, these great personalities, they're acting as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, they're addressed sometimes as Bhagavan. But it's interesting. He's always thinking of how to improve the situation of the conditioned souls in the universe. And we hear it again and again and again, you know, don't bother. Don't bother trying to make a happy situation in the material world. It's Prahlad's. And so many teachings are the same. Don't try to make a happy situation in the material world. It's not going to work. But here we see the universal creators, they're exactly doing that. He's always thinking of how to improve the situation of the conditioned souls who come to the material world to enjoy material activities. Born directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's another reason he is Bhagavan also. He's born directly. Plus he's a guna avatar. Lord Brahma is in charge of the mode of passion. Guna, so he's an avatar. Uh, because he's born directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He dedicates his activities to the welfare of the entire universe, for he knows the purpose of the universe. He knows the purpose of the universal creation. So it's a very interesting chapter, this, because there's these different controversies coming up. We hear the stories from pure devotees, and they say, you know, we don't really have anything to do with it. Bahi mukha brahma janmi nahi asha. Even I don't want to become a Brahma, a Lord Brahma, if he's not a complete devotee of Krishna. So what to speak of any other position in the material universe? But here we're saying that they're very responsible personalities. They're taking on this great responsibility for maintaining the universe, which, although a very serious thing, it's only of Vishnu, it's only half a breath of Vishnu. It's not so seen from the viewpoint of eternality. It's only half a breath of Vishnu, but it's a big thing that's happening here. And why is it all happening? For the living entity. Beyond the material is the living entity, Jiva Bhuta Mahabahu. They are sustaining the universe by their desires to be the controllers and enjoyers of success. They're sustaining the universe because by their desire, then all this is happening. You get your big demigods, and the whole thing is taking place because of the living entity's desire. If the living entity wasn't desiring, there's no need for a universe. It's certainly not built for Krishna's pleasure. He has millions and millions of Vaikuntha planets where he can enjoy it. So the universe is for the pleasure of the living entities who want to act separately from Krishna or imitate Krishna. But look at the arrangement that Krishna's made. Huge arrangement. We can't even figure it out. One universe. This is the small... It's not going to work. What does Prahlad say? You try to improve it, that activity of trying to improve becomes, your solution becomes worse than the problem. It turns out like that. The solution becomes worse than your problem. You just better tolerate the problem, and it comes and it goes away again. But you make a whole big program of how to counteract the problem, and that becomes a bigger problem. Your whole consciousness is fixed on the problem, and your whole world is a problem. And so it becomes bigger than the problem. So best you just tolerate that problem. It comes and it goes. But these serious people, they actually got, they were trying to make a, improve the situation. But he's trying to do it. He's disseminating Vedic knowledge. He's trying to do it through the Vedas. At least he's doing it according to some authorized process. He's not speculating. So this is the glory of the Vedas. The Vedas... he knows the purpose of the Vedas. there's two purposes of the the purpose of the Vedas is knowledge disseminated throughout the universe. So that he knows the purpose of the universe. Yes, because the living entities want to enjoy. So therefore, Krishna, he gives the Vedas. If you follow these Vedas, and you're going to follow them according to your guna and karma, if you follow them like that, you'll get best happiness, maximum happiness. So Krishna wants our happiness. So the Vedas are there. Look, the universe is created just like you buy an air conditioner and you get a manual with it. It tells you how to operate it. Operator's manual, user's manual. So similarly, when the universe is created, you get a user's manual, operator's manual. That's the Vedas. It tells you how to live and deal within this material world for your ultimate happiness. If you disregard the Vedic injunctions and you simply speculate and make your own program, you're not going to be so happy as if you follow the Vedic injunctions, because that's authorized. It's coming from Krishna himself. He speaks the Vedas. So if you neglect the Lord's order and try to interpret or manufacture your own ideas, you're not going to be so happy. But it's the situation today. It's a godless society and everybody's making their own creations. Every country has its own policies. They think we follow this policy, we'll be happy. Another one thinks we'll follow this policy, we'll be happy. But they're all speculation, and that's why the world is going to hell. But if we follow the Vedic injunction, because it's authorized, then it actually works, and you get maximum happiness, because that's what you want. You're still in the cycle of birth and death, but at least the aspect of happiness which you want is there. The birth and death, there's no birth and death. But the apparent birth and death is simply to wake us up to what we should really be doing here. So therefore we get this Vedic system. This Varnashram system is very cleverly designed by Krishna. He said, I created that. Chaturvanam mayastishkuna kama vikasha. I've created this. Four divisions in society according to quality and work, the gunas and karmas. I've created this in society, so it works, because Krishna created it. If you follow according to your guna and karma, you'll be happy, happiest that you can get in the material world. You're still going to grow old, you're going to get disease, you're going to die. But as happy as you can get in the material world, if you follow the Vedic injunctions. So Varnashram is actually a built-in system of sense and mind control. It automatically is happening. You're progressing. By following your guna and karma, you're going to progress from a sudra to a vaishya to a kshatriya to a brahmana, from tamagun to rajagun to shatagun. This is the built-in progression. If you follow the system, automatically it happens. Surely become elevated. Become more and more pure to the higher modes of material nature. And then from that position in the mode of goodness, then you have more chance of accepting the advice of a pure devotee if you happen to meet one. Otherwise, if you're not very pure or anything, then you, even if you meet a pure devotee, it won't have much effect. So at least the mode of goodness, it prepares you. Ultimately, we have to get the blessing of a devotee sometime in the sojourn of our life in this material universe. So if you're in the mode of goodness, you can easily pick it up when it comes. That mercy of a devotee, that's the only way out of the material world when you meet a devotee. That's the beginning of your ticket back home to Godhead. So it's a good system because it's purifying. It's a built-in purificatory system. The social life is going on. Everything is going on. It doesn't look like everybody's doing yoga and meditation and dhyana, but they're being purified simply by their activities, which apparently are social activities. But the purification goes on. You still want to enjoy. So, okay, enjoy like this. Create a society of friendship, society and love. And try to do it. Try to make it work. Because that's what you want. So therefore you're doing this simultaneously, you're becoming purified. This is the subject matter of this verse. Maharaj Priyavrata, they're going to pull him out of his austerities. He says, no, I'm not going to go back. This is his first reaction. I'm not going to go back. I'm performing austerity. And this is Parikshit Maharaj's question. How come that this Maharaj Priyavrata, he was such a pure devotee, engaged, absorbed in constant devotional service. He didn't divert his mind for anything. Now he's going back into the Grihastha ashram as a king, and although he's enjoying material life with queens and things like that, and how come he remained a pure devotee and went back to Godhead after that? He should be bound up. This is a source of bondage, this family life, we understand. Lord Brahma, when he was praying to Krishna, he said this, when we see the family life, the house, the children, the animals, the paraphernalia, it's all a source of bondage for the living entity. He's attached to all this. It's a great source of bondage. Lord Brahma's praying to Krishna. He said, but here in this, your village, Vrindavan, I see that everything is designed for worshipping Krishna. Everything you're doing is for Krishna. You're churning, you're making butter, and you're thinking, I hope Krishna comes and steals my butter today. Everything in his house is for Krishna. And therefore, it's a source of freedom for you. Usually, household paraphernalia, home, etc., like that, it's the greatest source of bondage in this material world. It's so difficult to get out of family life. It's the greatest. But here, in this village of yours, Krishna, where everything is used, being used to glorify you, it's a great source of liberation. It's the very same thing, but it comes a source of liberation. This is the gist of this chapter, Priyavrata Miyana. I'm not going to go back there. That's why Brahma's coming. Narad's preaching to Priyavrata, actually. He's not going to tell him to go back. And some man who wants him to go back, he's not going to go back. So that's why Lord Brahma's coming. He's the only one who... He's a supreme authority of the universe. He's going to explain to him how he has to come back. Because as long as Narad Muni is preaching to him, he's not going to come back. Already, Narad Muni kept sending all the projectors back and he's back to their austerities. So it's interesting how they come, because Narad is there, and now Brahma's going to tell him to go back. Narad's just been preaching renunciation to him. And now Brahma's going to come and say, there you go, go back. So what's he going to do? Anyway, it's a nice thing in the chapter. anyway, so there's two paths in the Veda. One, it gives you an opportunity to enjoy and fulfill your... It gives you an opportunity also to go back to Godhead. But if you follow the Vedic injunction, simultaneously, this sense and mind control automatically will be there. It's a built-in system. Even your enjoying social life, the effect will be there, the purification will be there. So it's a good thing. The Vedic knowledge is divided into two parts, pravritti marg and nivritti marg. This is what, renunciation and attachment. Nivritti marg is a path of negating sense enjoyment, and pravritti marg is a path of the living entities. They are given the chance to enjoy and at the same time be directed in such a way they can go back home, back to Godhead. Because ruling over the universe is a great responsibility, Brahma must force many manus in different ages to take charge of the universal affairs. Under each manu, there are different kings who execute the purpose of Lord Brahma. It is understood from previous explanation that the father of Dhruva Maharaj, King Uttanapada, ruled over the universe because his elder brother Priyavrata Priyavrata, who is meditating there. Swayambhuva Manu requested Priyavrata to rule over the universe. When he refused, Lord Brahma descended from the supreme planetary system known as Satyaloka to request Priyavrata to accept the order. Lord Brahma did not come alone. He came with other great sages like Marichi, Aitreya, Vasishtha, to convince Priyavrata that it was necessary for him to follow the Vedic injunctions and accept the responsibility of ruling over the world, Lord Brahma also brought with him the personified Vedas, his constant associates. He's backup men. He wants to win this argument, so he's brought the personified Vedas with him. Who can argue with the personified Vedas? A significant word in this verse is Shwabhavanat, indicating that Lord Brahma descended from his own abode. Every demigod has his own abode. Indra, the king of the demigods, has his own abode, as do Chandra, the lord of the moon planet, and Surya, the predominating deity of the sun planet. There are many millions of demigods and stars and planets. Are their respective homes. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva Prata Devan. Those who worship the demigods go to their different planetary systems. Lord Brahma's abode, the highest planetary system, is called Satyaloka, or sometimes Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka refers to the spiritual world, usually. The abode of Lord Brahma is Satyaloka, but because Lord Brahma resides there, it is also sometimes called Brahmaloka. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Any questions or comments? Vritti-marg. There's two paths. The path of renunciation, the path of attachment. And practically the whole world is following the path of attachment. Vritti-marg. Before I came to Krishna consciousness, I never heard of any person who fasted. It didn't exist. I never fasted one time in my whole life before. I never heard anyone who fasted. The word practically doesn't exist. So austerity is practically, nobody wants austerity. It's out the window in the West, Western countries especially. And vegetarian, I only heard the name, I didn't know any. And then when I found that one person, I knew he must be pretty weird, this guy. I only knew one vegetarian person. So nobody wants to be austere. Everybody wants sensory gratificationism to us. So it's propagated like anything. They're all the propaganda and the leaders today. It's for sensory gratification. No one is speaking Nirvritti Marg because they won't get any customers. They won't become popular. So even the so-called spiritualists, they can only go a little, they don't go too far because they'll lose their popularity. So even they're encouraging them in different kinds of sense gratification. Or they fish once a week or something like that. A little restriction here and there. But here, Narad Muni, he's preaching to Maharaj Priyavrata about renunciation. The same Narad Muni was preaching to Vyasadeva, who may have also been here at the time, also in this meeting. And Vyasadeva was Priti-marg and Nivritti, like Karmakanda and Jnanakanda, Upashanakanda. So there's different paths. There's a path of enjoyment in the Vedas. So Narad Muni, he was chastising Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva himself wasn't feeling satisfied. And there are chastising, and tell him how you overemphasize the path of Karmakanda, enjoying in the material world, following these ritualistic activities for enjoyment. You've overemphasized it. This is the problem. Already, people are very much attached to sense gratification. That's natural. And now you're encouraging them. You can drink the soma ras, you perform this the vivaha samskara. So many elaborate preparations, performances you can enjoy. You can eat meat, offer to Kali, little restriction is there. But already they're inclined to do these things, and now you're encouraging them. And now they say, well, why we should, this is our religion. They're saying, this Veda is our religion. And what does it say in the Veda? We can eat meat, we can take wine, we can have sex. It's all there. Look, this is our religion. So he said that this is foolish people will take that. They'll take it as a religion. You're encouraging it. You've overemphasized and you're encouraging it. Already they have the propensity for sense gratification. But these are restrictions. They're supposed to be restrictions. You eat meat once on the dark moon after sacrifice to Kali. You do use the soma, jagannath and sacrifice. You can drink the wine when it's... they're restrictions. So you don't become too animalistic. They got restrictions there. Have a little bit. But don't go overboard. But then now they're making a religion of these restrictions. The religion is our restrictions. Look, it says you can eat meat. You can... Jesus gave fish to the multitudes. The Bible says wine to make the heart glad, oil to make the face shine, and wine to make the heart glad. doesn't mean you open a bar on every corner of the street and knock it pints and pints of beer back. You take a little bit of wine after your meal or something like that. But they take this in. No, this is our religion. Look, you can. So even Vyasadeva, he was chastised by Narada Muni. But now it's interesting to see how Narada Muni is going to react when Brahma is there, telling Priyavrata to go back into his family life. It's very interesting.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, you say about the austerities and fasting. I want to ask about Srila Prabhupada when he was in the life. What's saying about the Ekadasi? Now, sometimes the devotees like to fasting all day. Sometimes the devotees say fasting till noon. Where the best way, Prabhupada say the devotees do Ekadasi? Please, you can explain in the time.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada said we should fast on the Ekadasi, meaning from grains. He said it's very good if you can fast whole day and do nijal. He said that's very good. He said myself I could not do. My Guru Maharaj was very austere, he could do jata mushroom. Myself I could, but if you can do it's very good. But at least you fast from excessive eating and fasting from grains on the Ekadasi. And on the appearance days of Vishnu Tattva, there's an injunction, you should fast, you do the Ekadasi. But Srila Prabhupada, he said on Janmashtami, we observe the fasting of Ekadasi, and on the Gopanima, these 2 days. Otherwise, the injunction is every Vishnu Tattva. The Prabhupada said, not too much fasting. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura said the same thing also. He said we will fast for Gopurnima, Anukalpa, Ekadasi, and Janmashtami. Because these are our wisdom devas, Mahaprabhu and Krishna. These are our worshipful deities. For those we will fast, not every Vishnu Tattva. He said that don't become too austere. in Pakistan, there was always there. Doing Chautamasha, growing his hair. One time eating, you put your hands behind your back. Like a cow, you eat from the ground. You wash the, you put some Ganga water on the floor, put your khichdi. When you come up, you don't go down again. That's a very strict vow for 4 months. But he used to do all those things. But he told his followers not to put it. But he said, so at least Janmasmi and Gopurnima, we will observe the goddess given. But not too much fasting, because it will tend to make the heart a bit hard if you're too much fasting.
We're talking about Pravriti Marg and Nivriti Marg. Seems a Grihastha life seems more aligned for Pravriti Marg. But it is this, and Brahmachari sort of life's like Nivriti Marg. But is it like that, or for Brahmachari, is it some sort of Pravriti Marg? Like by Yukta Vairagya or something, for a Brahmachari, do they also can have Pravriti Marg? Or is it Brahmachari more inclined towards Nivriti Marg?
Hold it in front. Hold the mic.
Yeah, so Brahmachari life would seem more easy or disposed to Nivriti Marg. Or is it such a thing for Brahmachari Ashram Pravriti Marg? You're saying Pravriti Marg is like the path of sense enjoyment, seems like a householder, to take a choice as a householder life. That's more, license for that and facility for that, and one makes a choice. But as a Brahmachari, is there such a thing as Pravriti Marg for a Brahmachari?
Yeah, they get more time for dancing and chanting. This is their Pravriti Marg, they're enjoying transcendental enjoyment. Brahmacharis can eat up to here, prasadam. Especially in the Dham, there is no fault of overeating. So the charis recommended, yeah, you not prasadam, yeah, you eat up to here as much as you can. So in the beginning, you can eat a lot, but afterwards, before the old age comes, it slows you down. But you can choose to eat less. But there is a tendency. You may have experienced yourself and with others, when they do fast a lot, they become a little bit hard-hearted and a little bit angry easy and things like that. That question is nicely answered later on in this chapter. Conversation was going on about Brahmacharya, and then another devotee was there. And he said, I'm Brahmacharya within. He wasn't dressed in saffron, but he said, I'm Brahmacharya within. So that's good. Better than without. Be Brahmacharya within. Better than without. But still, Brahmacharya within or we're not really concerned with either of them. We're concerned with identifying as Krishna's servant, not a good Brahmacharya without or a good Brahmacharya within. As Krishna's servant. This is going to come out in this. He transcends all this dualities of the material. Pravriti Marg, Pravriti Marg. Actually, we have nothing to do with both of those. We're servants of Krishna. What is it favorable for Krishna's service we'll do? If it takes Pravriti Marg to serve Krishna, he'll do it. So this is what Priyavrata did. He was engaged in Nivriti Marg, completely renounced, absorbed in devotional service. But he gave it up under the order of his father, and he entered the so-called Pravriti Marg. But his consciousness wasn't in Pravriti Marg. But he was outside, he was Pravriti Marg. He was a king and enjoyed it. But his consciousness was in Pravriti Marg. His consciousness was actually in service, but he never stopped his service. So he went from the Himalayas to the palace, but his consciousness remained the same. But he took it as a responsibility. He was born from a king. It was his duty. And he had the qualities and the qualification to do it. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, no punya, no pap. We're not interested in pap. We're not interested in punya, pious activity. We're only interested in Radha and Krishna. We don't want to spend our time avoiding sin. We don't want to spend our time cultivating renunciation. We want to spend our time serving Krishna and thinking of Krishna. Okay. Time for darshan. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveda Bhaktivedanta ki. Thank you. Thank you.